Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start a new series over the next few weeks talking about Never Alone. I remember several years ago, Mom and Dad had bought a mobile home just up around the corner from here. And so it was in disrepair, needed quite a bit of work. And so Jill and I, at that time, we were living in Oklahoma. And so we talked and decided that I would load up our van and our trailer with some of our stuff and with tools and all. And I would head south and come down for a little bit to Florida and help get the place kind of in shape a little bit. And so I packed up and headed out. And I remember on the first night, I'm going along and I was coming through a small town in Alabama. And I got through the town and I'm, like I say, just driving along, you know, trying to mind my own business. You ever done that before? Just tried to mind your own business, right? And I just minded my own business. And I remember, I'm on a 4-lane highway and it's being under construction. And so I remember getting to a certain point and all of a sudden I looked around. And it's like 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock that night. And I looked around and there was no street lights, because usually every so often they'll have a street light or something. There's no street lights. And for as far as I could see ahead of me and as far as I could see behind me, there wasn't a car in sight. There wasn't a business in sight. There wasn't any houses, not even a ranch up in the middle of a field somewhere with a porch light on. And it was dark. And so I remember in that moment when I realized all of the sudden, man, I'm alone. I'll never forget it. It was the weirdest thing when I realized all of a sudden that there's nobody around. There's no businesses. There's no nothing. And here I am. I'm driving in an old van. It's got 165,000 miles on it. And I got this old trailer on the back, and we're just heading to Florida, right? It seemed like a good idea at the time. But when I reached that point and all of a sudden I realized, holy mackerel, I'm alone. It was the weirdest feeling. Literally, I felt a physical change. Have you ever felt that before? It just like kind of washed all over me and right out my feet. And all of a sudden I begin to like this. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh man, what if I break down? What am I going to do? I don't like to walk. 10 o'clock at night. And this feeling just kind of washed all over me. It's really hard to explain. Here I am out in the middle of nowhere. What am I going to do if? You ever been there before? All of a sudden, you're just going through life, minding your own business. Everything seems to be going fine. And then you stop just in the moment and you kind of look around and it looks as though, man, there's just nobody around. And you feel alone. And it's like, man, what am I going to do now? What if something happens? What if? I'm thinking, what if I have a flat tire? I'm trying to think, well, did I even check the tires? There's a day when I didn't even check. I just head in and I go. You know what I mean? Well, is everything okay? I'm in this old van and so on. And I'm just rehearsing all of those things that could possibly go wrong. And how am I going to deal with it by myself alone? No one to help me. No one that probably even knows where I'm at. You know what I mean? This is a strange feeling. And so you begin to wonder the what if. Now, there again, of course, I'm sure that you're like me and you like maybe some, we call them in my house, quiet times. that we like to be kind of alone for a little bit and just so that we can kind of recharge and reboot. And I get that, but this isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that feeling when you're feeling isolated or when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling as though there's no help around. What if? And all of a sudden, have you ever had the what ifs? Yeah, we've all kind of had the what ifs. You know what I mean? What if something happens? And we really don't like to be that kind of alone. And so God said something pretty interesting in Genesis chapter 2. He said, it's not good that we should be alone. How many know what I'm talking about, fellas? Yeah, it's not good that we should be alone. And so God had this plan that he himself established so that we wouldn't be alone. And guess what? I've got some good news today for us that he has a plan so that we won't ever have to be alone. So that's what I want to talk about over the next couple weeks. And so are you in Hebrews chapter 13 yet? Okay, good job. The context of the book of Hebrews is that the church was new, maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 years old, something like that. It was a lot of things were happening, but also there was a lot of persecution at this time. And I mean, I'm talking about real persecution, not kind of like how we feel like when somebody says you can't testify or you can't witness in this situation and we feel all bad about that. I mean, I'm talking about they were putting them in jail and they were getting beaten and they were torturing them and they were dividing family. I mean, there was a lot of things that were happening at this time. And so the Holy Spirit is giving them instruction on how they should live a Christian life in this particular situation that they were in. And so, and it's interesting that right in the middle of all this instruction that God tells them, which they're again, is our topic today, is this, is I am with you. I love how he tells them that I am with you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 5. And he says this, never. Now, just in case you may not know what that means, never simply means that at no time and on no occasion, not ever. So God is starting out right from the get-go, and he's telling them that if you're a child of God, that here is the promise. Now, if you're not, don't fret, because before the day's out, you can be. But this is a promise for the child of God. He says, never will I leave you. Isn't that amazing? He says, so at no time or at any occasion, not ever will I leave you. And I'm glad that he doesn't stop there because he says this, he says that word again, never. Or in other words, at no time or on any occasion, not ever will I forsake you. Amen. Amen. Never will I leave you. And never will I forsake you. So as a child of God, we have this assurance that I will never be alone. I'll never be alone. I realize that sometimes because of the circumstances in life that we may feel alone. And, you know, and people can even look at us and it may look as though we're alone. But guess what? In spite of what we feel or in spite of what things may look like, you're not alone. But God, amen, is with us. As I was driving down the highway that night headed to Florida, my family wasn't with me. And there wasn't any other cars on the road. And there wasn't street lights. You know, when it's dark, street lights are kind of nice. But I remember as that awful feeling of being alone washed over me, I remember clearly, like it just happened last night, that the Word of God began to rise up inside of me, literally at that same moment. And I begin to be reminded of these truths that even though I may feel alone, I'm never alone because Christ is with me. Even in that van going down the road, he will not leave me, nor will he forsake me, but he is right there with me. And not only that, but he's watching over me. Amen. Next thing you know, faith began to rise and I begin to feel better. And all of a sudden I begin to, oh, okay, you know, it's not going to be so bad after all because I wasn't alone. You see, God was with me. So when Hebrews was written, they were struggling and they were being persecuted. And so I believe that God wanted them to know that in spite of those challenges that they were facing, that they would never be alone, that he was with them. He goes on and says this in verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. And so even though we may feel sometimes alone, and it may look as though sometimes we're alone, because we're in Christ, we're never alone. But also because of Jesus in our lives, we have this promise is that I will never be without his help. I will never be without his help. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 46. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. What an awesome thought that God is not a fair-weathered friend. Have you ever had a fair-weathered friend? What does that mean? That means that when things are good, they're hanging around. When the money's flowing, things are cool. When the buffet is full, it's all cool. But man, when everything begins to get rough and things begin to shake, you look around and what do you find out? You find out that you're alone, but not if you're a child of God. Hallelujah. Not if you're a child of God. And so Jesus revealed God's plan to help us in John 16:7. And here's what he said. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it's to your advantage that I go back to the Father, because if I don't, then the Helper will not come." He said, "But if I go, I will send him to you." Amen. And guess what? That's exactly what he did. On the we call it the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came. And he sent the Holy Spirit not only to dwell in us, which happens when you give your heart and life to Christ. The Bible says that Jesus comes and lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And that's how that works. There's an infilling, if you will. But then there's a separate experience from that initial infilling and washing and cleaning and so on that the Holy Spirit does through the blood of Christ. Amen. And that is called, we call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about here in Acts chapter 2. And so not only does he come to dwell in us, but also he comes to baptize us with fire from on high. And it's the kind of fire that's good. Amen. And that baptism, that fire, if you will, that empowers us by the Holy Spirit. There again, what are we talking about? We're never going to be without God's help, not only because he's with us, but he's in us. And if we'll allow him to, he'll baptize us and he'll help us or empower us to witness and to our families. You know, that uncle that you can never seem to crack. You know what I'm talking about? Or that aunt who always has an answer for everything. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom on how to crack that shell. Hopefully you're not the one that they're trying to crack. But the Holy Spirit will empower you and give you wisdom and insight on how to help and bless your friends and coworkers and neighbors and so on. And not only that, but he'll teach us, the Bible says, the Word of God. He'll teach us how to live and how to be effective in the earth for Jesus Christ. I love the fact that he'll teach me how to be a better dad. He'll teach me how to be a better husband, a better friend, a better neighbor. See, that's what the Holy Spirit will do if we'll simply let him. Amen. He'll help us and he'll lead us, the Bible says, into paths of righteousness so that we can be clean before the Lord and not get entangled with those sins and those things that just always will trip us up and distract us and slow us down from making progress in our families, you know, in the church, and so on. He'll lead us and he'll guide us and he'll help us. Not only will he lead us to righteousness, but do you know that the Holy Spirit will lead us to rest? The Holy Spirit will lead us to places of rest where we can be restored, where we can be renewed and refreshed, and that our strength can be built back up again. And I know this may sound strange to some, but it's the truth that the Holy Spirit will lead us into places of battle. We have an enemy. Jesus told us in John 10 that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That doesn't sound like somebody I want in my home. How about you? No. And so how do we stand up against that? Well, the Bible says that the Lord will lead us, the Holy Spirit will lead us into places of battle, into those places he's called us to be. In other words, whatever God calls you to do, he'll equip you for it. And so a lot of times we run around and we get our nose into somebody else's business that we shouldn't be in. We kind of get into a battle that we're not supposed to be there for. You ever had anybody do that? Because I know none of us have, but I mean, you certainly know somebody that has done that before. Kind of got our nose in somebody else's business that we never should have been in to begin with. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you to know what you're supposed to jump into. He'll take you into, yes, it will be a battle, but God not only has called you there, but he's equipped you there so that you can be successful and push back darkness, right? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Our mission here is to bring people to life in Christ, to push back those things that are holding people from true life and the true benefit of knowing Christ. Amen. So he'll lead us in those places. And so in Christ, with Christ in our lives, we'll never be without his help. And that sounds like a good plan to me. How about you? So he says this in verse 6. He said, I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, it's important there again to remember that while this is being written, that the church was suffering terrible persecution. They were at it hard. They were pushing back against them hard. And so when you realize what's being done to them by their enemy and what's being said to them by God in this scripture, it kind of takes on a whole new meaning, because when you ask this question to them, you know, what can man do to you? They would probably reply something like this. Well, they can put me in jail. They can separate me from my family. You know, they could starve my children. You know, they can literally kill me if they want to. And unfortunately, they would answer right, because that's those types of things that was happening. But I don't believe that that was the intention of this question. I believe that the intention of this question was there again to refocus them heavenward. How many have ever been so focused on the circumstance or on the mountain or the challenge, whatever you want to call it? We're so focused on the problem that we lose sight of the answer. You ever been there before? Boys, I know I have. Unfortunately, more than one time. But I've struggled with that to where it just is so overwhelming that I lose focus in the moment. And so I believe the intention of this question was to refocus them heavenward, because in Christ, I'll never be without his victory. Amen. Why is that? First of all, because Jesus has already won. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes you may not feel that way, that you may be in a circumstance or something pushing against you where it doesn't feel as though I'm a winner. But trust me, the battle has already been won. I love this scripture, Colossians chapter 2 and 15. The Bible says that Jesus disarmed powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. The Bible says that in Ephesians 1, that when he ascended into heaven, he took his place at the right hand of the Father. Check this out. Far above. And I'm not talking about just because I'm standing up here, I'm above, I'm a foot and a half taller than you. I'm not talking about distance wise. When he talks about that, he's talking about power. He's talking about strength. He's far above. He is so far above, they're not even in the same universe. Some people think that God is the good side of this power and that the devil is the bad side of this power, as if they're both gods. That's not the case. The enemy is a created being. He's been given permission to have authority right now. I mean, in our mind, I understand that we look at it as evil versus good, and I get that to a point, but I don't want you to think of it as though they're both God, they're both equal, because they're not. That's why we're talking about this, to help us to understand that we'll never be alone and that he'll always be with us, meaning that he'll always help us and that we'll always be able to have victory because Jesus already won the battle. Satan is a defeated foe. Amen. And so he says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And God has put everything under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus has already won. And because we're his children, we have the victory as well. Amen. So we fight from a stance of victory. Regardless, we are victorious. Amen. And so, yes, we have an enemy. But guess what? He is a defeated foe. I understand there's sin in the earth, but guess what? We have the blood of Jesus. Amen. There may be sickness in the earth, but we heard it today. By his stripes, we are healed. There may be poverty in the earth, but my God, will supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So for all of these things that would push against us, Christ has provision for us. And he has already been victorious over that. So we'll never be without his victory because he's already won. But I want you to remember this. We not only have the victory because he's already won, but we have his victory because his victory doesn't depend upon your circumstances. Amen. You see, his victory does not depend on whether things are good around you or not. How many understand that, I would feel like I had the victory if this happened and that happened. And I had enough money for this. And I had enough money for that. And the car wasn't acting up. Or my this or my that or whatever, so on. You know what I mean? We base it on what we see around us. And I get that, and that's okay. I mean, to a point, but let's not lose there again, focus heavenward, because in Christ, we win. If men reject you, that's okay, because God will always accept you. As a child of God, they could lock you up in prison. What is he trying to tell them? He's trying to tell those folk who are suffering terribly that regardless of what happens around you, I want you to remember that you are in victory because you are a child of God. Amen. He wanted to let them know that, hey, it's going to be all right, even though they can separate you from your friends and from your family and everyone that you care about, they'll never be able to separate you from me and my strong hand. Paul, who faced great tribulation and persecution, he said this in 2 Corinthians 2. He said, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You see, Paul understood that regardless of his situation, that in Christ, he would eventually win. That's why I said, so I press on toward the mark, toward my prize. What are you facing? What's got you down? What's got you discouraged? What are you thinking that's going to take you out? We dress up all pretty and we make everything on the outside look good, but sometimes there's a battle that's going on inside here and we're really not sure if it's going to come out okay. I want you to understand, regardless of what men may do to you, regardless of your financial situation or any of those things, you're never alone because God is with you. He'll always help you and you'll always have his victory. And so we can take that as wonderful reassurance. But also when you look at that question, what can men do to us? I believe not only was it reassurance to them, but I believe also that God wanted to give them a call to action. He was telling them that regardless of what they try to do to you, I am with you and I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, but we are going to make this thing happen together. So here's what our challenge is. Our challenge today is to remember those same words that was given to the church long, long time ago, that if God is with me, what can man really do to me? Yeah, they can affect this part of me, but they are not going to separate my spirit man from him. I'm always going to be strong, and I'm always going to have what I need. I'm always going to be supplied by his help and by his strength. And so not only is it reassurance, but it's a call to action. In other words, because I know God will never forsake me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to step into the ring. I'm all in. And I'm going to go for it. So when you face that guy this week that you've been praying for or that family member, I would encourage you to remember that God is with you. And so keep on loving them. He's helping you. So keep on giving them the good news of the gospel. Not only that, but you have the victory in Christ. And so regardless of what may push back at you, you just keep going. You just keep doing good. You just keep blessing those round about you, because I'll tell you why, it's working. Light always pushes back darkness. Even if you got a little candle and you feel like you're the smallest in the kingdom, like Gideon did, you know what happened? Because he just simply listened to God, God gave him the victory. Why? Because he already won the battle. He just wanted Gideon to walk it out for him.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.